Today's scripture reading will be from Genesis 14, 18 through 23. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. And he had blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tenth of all, and the king of Sodom said to Abram, Give the people to me, and take the goods for yourself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have sworn to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread, or a sandal, or anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich.
I appreciate our elders for a lot of reasons. For one, they're godly men, and that's probably the most important reason, but they love us enough to try to protect us even from our own selves. And they have instituted some things that I think are praiseworthy on the one hand, but very practical on the other. So while we're going through these things, just try to be aware that probably more than we have been in the past, I think that's one of the great shocks for us, is not so much the potentiality of this particular virus, but the fact that there are some things we probably should have been doing all along that we've not normally done like we should. And remember when your mom told you to wash your hands? Well, she wasn't wrong, was she? So, just keep those things in mind, and I appreciate the efforts we all make to take care of everybody. And one other thing, real quickly, it was mentioned to me this morning, and I think it's a good idea in general, regardless of what's happening right now. We have several people in this congregation that have skill sets. Maybe they're tradesmen. They might have the ability to do other things. We're always here to help our family out as much as we can. So if you need something, if you need somebody to help you with something around the house, or if you need somebody to go to the grocery store for you, and I'm going to tell you what, that's more of an endeavor now if you've been in the last few days. I'm not for churches going into entrepreneurship, but I think if we opened a couple of toilet paper plants, we'd be doing good. We'd be humming right now. So, but all that being said, if you need something, please don't hesitate to ever ask at any time, regardless of what's going on right now. There are always people who love you, and there are always people glad to help. So if you need anything right now, and especially now if it's hard to get out or whatever the case is, please let us know, and I promise you, we'll be glad to help out everywhere we can. This sermon this morning, I'm going to warn you, a friend of mine sent me four tapes, cassette tapes, in case y'all don't know what they are. It's little things with the, y'all young people don't know what a cassette tape is. It's got, anyway, you need a pencil to tighten it up. But, you know, young people don't know anything about that stuff, you know. And I'm not even going to 8-tracks, you know. That was going to change the world. But he sent me these four tapes, and I had asked months ago about a particular minister who had done some lectures at Heritage Christian University, was in International Bible College, and his name was Charles Hodge. That name may or may not mean anything to you. I've mentioned Charles before. I believe he's retired at this point, and if you call him on the phone, it's kind of fruitless, because all he'll do is say what, because he can't really hear you that well. But he's preached some dynamic, moving sermons in his own style and format that to me is very powerful. So my friend sent me these four tapes. And Charles, he's old school preaching. Now that this is hellfire and brimstone. This is, you know, stuff that if you sit and listen to the tape, you either want to run and hide or you want to do something, you know. He's very encouraging to me, and I've actually known him for many years. But I've been trying to locate his sermons. You can't find them online, much of anything. But they make you think about the fundamentals of your relationship with God, the way he preaches. And that's the one overall aspect of what I like about his preaching, is because if we look at current circumstances and current events, and we see people get so distraught, and if you ever wonder why toilet paper is so hard to find, it's because... And items like that, it's because when people find something they can't control, they want to control the things that they can. And so I guess if buying 54 rolls of toilet paper for next week will make you feel better, You know, that's what people will do. The problem is, to a greater issue, we have much larger problems that people live with every day and don't do anything about. And the number one problem we have in this world today is not medical, it's not social, it's not economic, it's not educational, it's not vocational. The number one problem we have in this world today, folks, is sin. That's the biggest problem we have. And we got folks that walk around every day bleeding spiritually and don't do anything themselves to take action to be healed. Now, I say you have to be healed. You can't heal yourself. I've got first aid kits in my house. I have a fair amount of first aid training. And if you get anything from stab to shot or whatever, we can get you through it. But if you got problems with your life because you have been unrepentant, I don't have anything in my first aid kit that can fix that. I got nothing. I got something in this, my Bible, but I don't have anything I can buy at Walmart or Meijer or CVS or wherever it is you buy your first aid stuff. And people walk around wounded all the time. And part of the reason is because we won't capitulate. Imagine being sick but being too proud to go to the doctor. By the way, have you ever met somebody like that? I lived with somebody like that until they died. And what they told me was, you go to the hospital to die. And guess what? They were right. Because they lived with something for years that they knew they had and refused to go to it. Doctors can't do anything about that. My great-grandpa had that in 1890, and they couldn't do anything for him. They just got the leeches out, and that wouldn't fix them, and so I ain't going. I don't need any leeches. Well, I hate to tell you, or maybe you'll be glad to hear it, but they don't use those anymore, at least not here in the U.S. Well, there are some, but you wouldn't go to them, I don't think. I don't know why it is that we as people, we will take care of, if I sprain my ankle, if I hurt myself physically, I want to take care of it, and that's good. But spiritually, I'll walk around missing an arm or a leg or a broke back or a contusion on my head. I can't think right. I can't work right. I can't operate right spiritually. But I'm going to walk around and I'm going to be strong. What do those Christians know? How can they help me? What can the Lord do for me? Look at where I'm at. If He was good and He was great, I almost blame God for problems in the world. So, I want you to think about this. There wasn't a virus or a germ in the garden that could take a man's life. Do you know that? I'm talking about the Garden of Eden. As long as he ate from the tree of life, he lived. That was what sustained him. Now, there were probably other fruits and things, and some speculate whether or not animals were consumed, and I don't know, but I will tell you this. That tree of life was what kept man going. That's why when he was exited out of the garden, that tree of life was guarded. That path back was guarded by what? A flaming sword. In other words, you can't come back here now. That part, that access is over. Now you're going to be subject to mortality. And for us, that's hard because you may not know this, and I'm not being morbid. I hope you do understand this, but unless the Lord comes first, we're all leaving this world the same way. Now, it may not be for the same reason. I might have a heart attack. You might die from listening to too many of my sermons. But the truth of the matter is, we're all leaving here. And so unless we grapple with the fact that we will face God one day, and I mean face Him, and do something about that instead of walking around saying, well, you know, I'm just going to do everything I can to keep living. Well, I don't want you to be suicidal, but I promise you, you are not going to outlive your opportunity to have to face God. That's coming, whether you live to be 200 years old, or whether you don't make it out of the next 2 minutes. We will face God. And that's far greater, folks, than any germ or virus or bacteria that lives in this world that can harm us. It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of a righteous God. It is something we need to consider. And there are things, and I'm not trying to terrify people, I'm not trying to scare them, but I'm telling you, if you're walking around with spiritual injuries, and I'm talking about sin in your life, if you don't have the blood of Christ to cleanse you, then you ought to be nervous. You ought to be bothered. And it's not my place in this world as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ to help you walk out of this building and feel good about being lost. My goal here is to help you understand that there is a glorious victory that God has for us. But we're going to have to reach out and accept it. So this morning, I want to talk about the concept of this part of the name of God, this phraseology that is used to describe Him. And if you remember, we've been talking about the names of God. This morning we're going to talk about El Elyon. And it is that God is sovereign. He is the God Most High. El Elyon. The interesting thing about that name is, and sometimes we live in a world of competitions, and if you know anything about martial sports, martial arts, you know that champions, they took the crown away from somebody and they became champion, and then when somebody stronger comes up, some other competitor, they lose that crown to that, and then you have all these former. Well, let me tell you something, nobody has ever beaten God and nobody's ever going to beat God. There is no stronger competition on the horizon. It's never going to be there. That's how strong and powerful He is. He is the originator. He is it. Like the president that used to say, the buck stops here. That meant that what he meant was that in terms of responsibility, there's nobody beyond me. If you want somebody to find responsible, then it's me. When it comes to God, there is no one that you can appeal to, no one that we can go to that is stronger than God. Sometimes we think it's us. I know, but I'm going to go out and buy up all the toilet paper. That's going to make me feel better. And it's not going to do a single thing to help you in the final analysis. All it means is your neighbor's going to go there and find an empty shelf. And there are going to be newspapers with pictures in them of empty shelves. And 24-hour news programs going to come on TV. Everybody's going to think, well, if they got toilet paper, I'm going to get toilet paper. I don't know why they're getting it, but they're buying it, so I'm going to get it. That's the world. That's humanity. That's what people do. But for some reason, when it comes to Jesus Christ, His shelves are full. There's a world of lost people walking around because they won't recognize the God Most High. They'll recognize themselves and they'll recognize their logic and they'll recognize people they think that are smarter than them, and they'll look at their neighbors and they'll say, well, they're doing this, so I'm going to do this and it'll be fine and I feel good about it. And it's all, you know what? Humanity is spinning its spiritual wheels, going nowhere. Had a cousin one time in 1971. He bought a Mustang Mach 1. And he really thought the world. He's a Ford man through and through. And he got that thing souped up. And he got the engine worked on. He got the suspension worked on. He was going to take it out to the drag strip and show all those people how fast the Mustang Mach 1 was. He did. He had one of the highest rated horsepower Mach 1s that's been known. The thing had engine sticking out of it. All this stuff was going on. He got up to the light and they call it a Christmas tree, and it's got all these different colored lights, and when the green light goes off, the object is to get down the track as fast as you can. Not only beat your opponent, but get the fastest time. So the lights start flickering. They go down the tree. He pops the clutch. He's got the throttle going. Wheels start spinning, which you shouldn't do. They spun so much that they caught on fire. Tires exploded. Car burnt down to the ground. Didn't even get past the lights. Oh, he was strong. Powerful. Now, I'm not saying that to ridicule him, because he's not the only one it's ever happened to, and he probably won't be the last. But my point is, that's what people do. We arm ourselves and do everything we can against the evils of the world, and we forget that it is God who is Most High. We think we're Most High because we figured it out. We got an answer. And I'm going to go out and do it. And we are never, ever going to be Most High. The very biggest compliment paid to us in Scripture is that we are made in His image. The only thing in creation, by the way, made in the image of God, is humanity. And I'm going to tell you what, that's a pretty big deal. That's, if you think that's worthless or you think that doesn't matter or it's no count, let me tell you something. It is a big deal. It was the Most High God who was and is the Redeemer of Israel, we find in Psalm 78 and verse 35. They remembered that God was their rock and the Most High God, El Elyon, their Redeemer. He rules over the affairs of men in Daniel 4, verses 34 to 35. I lost my projector there. That's all right. Daniel 4, 34 to 35. But at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. But He does according to His will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth. And no one can ward off His hand or say to Him, "What have you done?" Cut the video, please. Alex, cut the video. Just shut it off. So, what does that name El Elyon mean concerning God? Not only is He our Elohim, our Creator, He is also the Most High. There's nobody that outranks Him. There's nobody, as we said, that's above Him. He is the Creator and He is the top. Have you ever wondered why we're asked to pray to a God who already knows what it is we think? Why are we asked to pray? Because prayer is about my proclamation to Him. It's one thing for me to sit back and say to myself, "Well, I know I need something. God knows I need it, so let's just wait on it." That's not what God says to do. God says to announce it. At some point in our humanity, in our life, we have to be broken and we have to submit to God. And we've got to recognize that. We have got to put ourselves in a position where we understand that He is God and we are not. And that's hard for us. That's why prayer is so powerful and important. And people who say to themselves, "Well, we'll do this or that, and well, let's, you know, then we'll pray about it." Let me tell you something. Pray first, folks. Don't pray last. Prayer is where you start. It's not where you end. You ought to pray all the way through. And the Bible says pray without ceasing. We ought not to ever even stop. But for those people to sit back and say, "Well, I'm going to do this, this, and this, but you know, I'm going to pray about it, but I'm going to do this." You know what? I'm not saying don't do practical things that matter, but I'm telling you that the most important thing mankind can do is put themselves in the presence of God. And that's what prayer does. Prayer places me in His presence, and it places myself in a sense of priority about myself. Because all of a sudden, when man stands in the presence of God, guess what? I'm not number one. I can't be. If I'm standing in the presence of God, I recognize the fact that I am broken and I am flawed. And that's why prayer, by the way, is so hard, especially for some people. Because for me to pray, I've got to give up on me being the answer. I've got to realize that there is something greater than me in this world. To trust El Elyon is to know who is in control of life. And it reveals that He is sovereign. You may have heard that word used several times. The concept is very simple. Sovereignty means that a ruler within a sovereign area is the ruler. A sovereign nation. And by the way, borders are what make a sovereign nation. And you hear some talk about that. But without borders, a nation is not sovereign. Okay, that means we don't have a way to rule. We can make laws, but we don't make laws for Mexico or Canada or France or anybody else. We make them for the United States. They make laws for themselves. They don't make them for us. And that's what it means to be sovereign. When we talk about God being sovereign, He is sovereign over everything. Everything. There is nothing over which God is not sovereign. And sometimes I prayed about it and I'm still scared. God's still sovereign. If you talk to Him and you have dealt with Him and you're in sync with Him and in relationship with Him, He is sovereign. He always has been. He didn't start being sovereign because you decided to pray to Him. He's always been sovereign. And that's something that for us is a lesson to learn. In Genesis 14, God reveals Himself as El Elyon to Abram. Following Abram's great victory over enemy kings from Chaldea and Persia. If you remember what happened, Abram's nephew Lot had been taken captive. Abram and his men attacked the kings and defeated them. Following the victory, Abram was approached by two kings, the king of Sodom and Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God, El Elyon, and blessed be Abraham to God, Most High, a possessor of heaven and earth, Genesis 14, verses 19 and 20. The king of Sodom attempted to bribe Abram. Give me the people and keep the goods for yourself. Now, if you talk about some prophecy going on, the king of what, who? Sodom? Remember them? Remember the kind of people we're talking about? And it was a fair deal. As far as wartime victories go, you just give us the slaves, the people that you captured, and what does Abram say? I'm not taking anything from you. Because I don't want anybody to say in the end that you made me rich. I'm not getting rich off of Sodom. I'm not doing that. And so Abram says to him, I don't want anything from you. Isn't that interesting? Wouldn't it be something if in the world that your need was answered? And here it is, a big check comes in the mail, but it's from somebody who's going to get glory. And you say, no, God's going to make me rich. And some people, I don't know if I would, and all this kind. Well, look at what Abram did. Because that's what he's dealing with. He's dealing with an ethical dilemma. Not really a dilemma to him, but most of us look at it and say, wait a minute, I could do lots of things. We could build all kinds of altars to God, and we could do all kinds of stuff with that, and you could rationalize your way through it, but you're still connected to the king of Sodom. When it's all said and done, what are you going to do? Name the temple at? Well, this is the king of Sodom's temple to God. God doesn't want temples from kings who won't follow His will, no matter how much money goes into them. Sometimes folks say to themselves, they rationalize their way to rich positions in life, and they have sacrificed what God has given us to live by. Abram. Psalm 91 verses 1 and 2 says, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Abram didn't trust in any king because there was a lot of money at stake. And by the way, if you live in this world and you think that money is going to change your life, I want to tell you that is Satan's deception. It might get you a suit or a dress or whatever it is it'll buy. But it's not going to help you love God more. Because if you don't love Him before the money, you're not going to love Him after it. You're not going to be a better person after the money if you weren't a better person before that. Because money is just that. That's all it is. Well, other people have it and I'd like to have it. And that's fine. But it ain't going to change a thing. There's a reason that most people who win the lottery wind up in bankruptcy within 5 years. It's because if you weren't a multimillionaire before, you ain't going to live like one after that, no matter how many houses you buy and lose back to the bank. I think sometimes folks forget what it is to live life and what is really most important. El Elyon means God is the sovereign God. I want to go back and look at verses 21 to 23 real quickly. The king of Sodom said to Abram, Give the people to me and take the goods for yourself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have sworn to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread or a sandal thong or anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram rich. What Abram was saying is that God is sovereign. If He wants me to be rich, then I will be rich. And if he wants Abram to work from limited resources and finite resources, then that's where I'll be. But in the end, he will still be God in my life. And so that's the struggle that people have. We want to change our circumstance and believe that we can change our relationship. So what does the name El Elyon mean for mankind? What is our application? First of all, it means that man can praise God's strength. It's the 57th Psalm, verses 1 and 2. Be gracious to me, O God, be gracious to me, for my soul takes refuge in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will take refuge. Until destruction passes by, I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. Some people would say about that, well, then what you're saying is that God is the one who does it all. We don't need to do anything. No, that is not what that's saying. But what it is saying is that when something is accomplished and something is done, the glory belongs to who? God. Now, I want you to think about this on a practical level, on a practical basis. When you get that promotion at work, that was because you worked hard and you produced something for your employer and you did all those things. And I'm not saying that those things didn't matter, but I'm going to ask you this question. Where did it come from? Oh, it came from my employer. Whose name is on it? I've heard that so many times. The name on the check. Well, where do you think the guy that signed that check got the money from? Oh, well, he got it because he sold a product or provided a service and he got that money and he worked hard. He's a self-made man. No, there's no such thing. There are no self-made men or women. If you were blessed to be successful, it came from God. Because I worked hard. There's plenty of people that work hard and don't get rich. In fact, there are more people that work hard and don't get rich than there are the other kind. There are folks that go out every day and do jobs that most people in this room find grotesque. And they work themselves hard. And they come home at the end of the day with aching joints, cuts, bruises, everything else, and go and get ready tomorrow to go out and do it all over again. Does that mean they didn't work hard because they didn't get a big old check? Let me tell you something. They went out there and worked, Jack. Why somebody else got a big check, I can't tell you. But to whom much is given? Much is expected. So if someone finds themselves in the position of prosperity, all I can say to you is, you better be careful with what you've got. And I don't mean so stingy that you don't share it or do anything positive with it, but what I am saying is, we need to be careful before we decide about how good we are in that process. Because if I have it, it's only because God gave it to me. I didn't go out and just rip it out of somebody's bank. Go on up to Wells Fargo, where Mike used to work, and tell them you're there to pick up your $1 million. And don't have it in the bank. But they got $1 million. Just, I'm here to get my million. Thank you very much. I'll take it in ones. You know? I've got a U-Haul out back. We're going to haul all that stuff home. I'm going to swim around it in the living room. You know? That's ridiculous, isn't it? It's not going to happen. But if it does come your way, if prosperity comes your way, then it comes from God. We can praise Him for those things. El Elyon means that man can praise God's supremacy. The 138th Psalm, verse 2, I will bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and your truth. For you have magnified your word according to all your name. All your name. It's been lifted up. I can praise God as being supreme. I saw Charles Barkley on a commercial recently. It's some commercial where he's sitting down and they're kind of talking about, they're doing something like a radio program, but he's answering some questions. Now, I remember when Charles was active in the NBA, and one of the biggest controversies in his life was when he was asked by a reporter what he thought about athletes being heroes or good examples to young people. His answer was, I don't care. That was his. Now I'm saying what he said. He's never recanted that. He's never changed that. He's never modified that. I don't care. I'm not here. I'm here to make money. Now, I'll tell you this. Mr. Barkley's probably one of the most honest people that you're going to hear from. And one thing that bothers me is we got young people in this world that need people to look up to, and these overpaid multimillionaire children are not the examples that I want our children looking up to, because they are not worthy. I don't care how many home runs they hit. I don't care how many rebounds they obtain. I don't care about any of that junk. Show me the man or woman that stands up in the face of adversity and then recognizes God. And I mean truthfully. That's who we need to be pointing our kids at. That's who we need to be raising them up to act like and to look like. And I don't know about you, but I don't know of any of those great spiritual heroes in this time or any time past who had t-shirts and socks and shoes we need to pay five times what they're worth for. Because they're heroes. They might be great athletes, folks, but we need to ask ourselves what the definition of a real hero is. The real heroes are the people who stand up for us when we struggle to stand up for ourselves. When we struggle to know what right is, they still stand up for what's right. And sometimes, many times, and Satan does all he can to make this happen, they're in the quiet back rooms of life that we don't ever see. You know, I look at politics, and one of the things that bothers me is I know how that works. The people who actually do the work, you never see on TV. You're never going to see them folks in any kind of an interview or something like that. But they'll be working till 3 in the morning so that the big time folks can get on TV and say something sounds productive. But the truth of the matter is, it's some poor little old flunky in the back room that probably came up with the idea. We won't know it, because that's not the way the world works. Folks, I hope and pray that when we talk about heroes and examples in this world, we look for the godly people. We know that Satan desires to exalt himself and say that he's getting to be like the Most High. Luke 8:28, seeing Jesus, he cried out and fell before him and said in a loud voice, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you not to torment me." When elements of hell recognize Jesus and man cannot, there's a problem in this world we need to be aware of. If you're going to live life in this world, let me just recommend this to you. And it might alleviate some current fears. It might alleviate some issues that we might have in life in general. But I don't care what's going on at present, God is still God Most High. It doesn't matter what's going on. In good times, yes, He is God Most High. In the hard times, He is still God Most High. And in whatever there is in between, guess what? He remains God Most High. I hope and pray that you'll contemplate these things and think about those things. Remember what I said, if somebody needs help or aid or anything like that, that your family can help you with, please let us know. I won't promise that we have every answer or maybe the ability to address the problem, depending on what it is. But I can tell you this, if it's something we can do, we love you and we'll do all we can to help. That's what family does. So, when we think about God and we think about Him being Most High, don't ever forget that. And the reason that's important is because it helps us through the times that otherwise might terrify us. Because if I'm not in control and there isn't anything I can do, and what do I do when all the toilet paper's gone? It's been bought up. I got 400 rolls at home, but I think I need two more. Okay. You got 400 rolls, and you're still scared for two more. I don't know about y'all. That's an awful lot of toilet paper. Laura was in line the other day, and there was a lady with her, and her husband came up. I guess they had two separate baskets of food. He had 5 gallons of milk. People don't realize it, but they're going to lose more than they're going to keep. Because if you can't drink 5 gallons of milk, I hate to tell you what's going to happen to the milk. You're going to know, because you're going to take a drink of it, or you're going to smell it, and you're going to say, "Boy, I can't take that." And so those 3 gallons are gone, you know. I wish, and my prayer for us as people, If all of this does anything good for us, it points us to the one who really matters. And that's God. So if you see something on TV that scares the daylights out of you, just remember, El Elyon, God Most High. And to people in the world, that won't make sense. You're just one of them Christians. Y'all are unreasonable. You just feed you, widen your hair on fire. Because El Elyon, God Most High. Wash your hands. Do the best you can. And all you grandparents, stay away from them grandkids. You know that's happening, right? Yeah. It's a good thing that's not a sin, right? Or we'd all be coming down forward here in a second. But the truth of the matter is, we're just people. But the great thing is that God is truly God. So this morning, if you have any need, if you need to begin that relationship with the Lord, or perhaps if you have that relationship, but there's some other need you have, won't you please come while we stand, while we sing.